grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition. Got Evan here screening your calls lightly in Madison. I think Fancy Brian's going to jump on later with us. I got Matt Rothschild, co-Devlin, and I've got Shannon from Madison first up on the phones at 844-967-2789. Welcome, Shannon. Say hi to Matt.
Well, hi, Matt.
Hey, Shannon.
Okay, so I think there's a really simple answer as to why they hate Biden, and I think it's as simple as they're sore losers. You know, I mean, it's hard to find, like, level-headed, informed, patient, wise people in life in general, but I think it's really hard to find them on the Republican side right now because so many of them have disassociated themselves at this point. So what's left are really the most immature, the least informed, the angriest, and they're angry, you know, that first they were angry about Obama, and Trump was kind of payback for that, and then Trump lost, and now this anger towards Obama and this fueling this great lie, I think it's just they're sore losers, and they can't take personal responsibility for that fact.
Shannon, weren't you, I made some radical life decisions after Donald Trump became the president, and I mean, radical. I sold a business, bought a radio station. I started making some big life choices.
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I would say perhaps an overreaction to the election of Donald Trump. But, you know, there are plenty that would say, well, Crudy, you just did that out of anger, out of spite, out of whatever. Did I, Shannon? I mean, you know, it certainly could be perceived that way. And
well, yeah, Crudy, and if you were angry, you had to be angry.
Shannon, I got to cut you off. I'm so sorry. Something happened with your phone there, and it really got bad. 844-967-2789. You know, if you got a good phone line, Wisco Paul, we'll keep talking for a bit. Say hi to my pal, Matt Rothschild. No, it's the phones. It's the phones. I'm not sure what's going on. I had to reset my computer here a little while ago, so I'm sure we might be having similar action with the phones. We'll get back to the phone lines a little bit later, perhaps, at 844-967-2789. I know the text line's still working, so text in. And, you know, Evan will share with me, and, you know, if they're good. Not you, George. I know some of you just like to troll in.
You know, Shannon called and said a lot were sore losers. Certainly there are a bunch of Republican sore losers out there, and Trump is the biggest sore loser in the history of any competition there ever was. But I also think there are some Republicans out there and some independents out there who worry about Biden, worry about Biden's age, about his grip, whether he's still sharp or not. I know a lot.
But how many people said the same of Trump? And perhaps valid in both cases. But
maybe, but, you know,
wasn't that the left's criticism of Donald Trump?
Well, it was one of them. But, I mean, you know, Trump appeared sharp in those debates. Even, you know, when he was running for re-election, if he didn't act like such a jerk in that first debate against Biden, he might have, you know, been re-elected. And now I think Trump has lost a step or two also. But Biden, you know, he's just a little shaky up there. And, you know, we all saw the video of him shaking hands with a ghost when he was trying to finish up a talk he did a couple days ago. That didn't look good. I mean, he was made fun of on Saturday Night Live about it and on right-wing TV constantly. And it is a concern that people have, and maybe it's a legitimate concern. I don't know. But, you know, so it's not just they're all sore losers. I think that's an element on the far right, certainly.
Do you think the fact, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Matt, but do you think the fact that Donald Trump said it was rigged, I mean, he was setting the stage for calling it rigged, of course, beforehand, and then he said it was rigged, it was stolen, and the million of illegals that voted, and whatever his cockamamie explanations were, whether you believed them as a pragmatic lefty or not, of course, we didn't, because we said, well, that's not what the recount showed. That's not what the math shows. But if it was Barack Obama, I mean, just for example, just for theoreticals here, playing devil's advocate for a minute. If Barack Obama had been defeated by Mitt Romney, let's say, and said it was stolen, There's no way I lost to that boring plastic man candidate. That was clearly a stolen election. They've rigged it against me. You don't think the Democratic supportive, the vast majority of Democratic, you know, voters would say, well, Obama said it was true. It's true. Now, Obama had a little better track record, let's say, than we perceive Trump to be. But it's no different, is it? If Obama said they stole it from me, I think I would have at least started from the premise it's a stolen election.
But would you keep up with that premise after you're 0 for 60 in the federal courts and after, you know, recount after recount?
I would demand evidence.
Well, and the evidence was non-existent. And so I hope that people, you know, who voted for Obama are more in the fact-based universe than the people who are still believing the lies that spill out of Trump's mouth, you know, when he says good morning.
Well, perhaps putting a bow on my conversation with Craig and Brad yesterday, that was my point. You're making assertions. You say it. Now support it. Where'd that come from? What's your source? And I guess that's something that I've never been afraid of, is to be contradicted and find out, oh, I had a bad source of information. Or when I read more, or as new information has come to light, I'm not married to my old preconceived notion if it was wrong. And of course, when I'm argumentative, I mean, I've fought some emotional battles with Dominic on the radio, but with 24 hours, you know, thinking it over, I've never woken up the next morning and said, well, I'm wrong, but I'm strong, and I'm going to keep fighting about this point. If you present evidence, I would hope most people's minds would be changed. And last thought
I'm still hoping to change some of those Republican minds, too. I don't think all of them are totally stuck in cement. A bunch of them are, but not 100% of them.
What do you think of that study that came out about paying Fox News viewers to watch CNN? And that was very surprising to me, because once upon a time, and you know, I do this little radio show, and I'm trying to appeal to 65%. And I just think, well, you know, there are the Trump supporters. I'm never going to get to them. I'm never going to win most of them over, or they wouldn't have voted for Trump. But I remember when Hillary Clinton called them deplorables back in 16, and we did a little exercise, and I said, okay, I think you are deplorable, and call me, you know, not that there's any Trump supportive people listening right now, but call me and tell me why you're not. And we had 2 hours of solid phone calls of people saying, oh, I love you guys, but I'm going to vote for Trump. And I would not have guessed at the time that we had an appeal that, you know, they wanted to hear it both sides. Because I think, well, then how did you come to the conclusion to vote for Donald Trump? But I think that study demonstrates that there's more open-mindedness when you're presented with evidence and good sourcing. Even a Trump supporter can have their mind changed.
Yeah, this was like 30 days of watching CNN. They started to change their minds.
They started changing their minds on day 3. It only took like 3 days of accurate representation and information. And it's not that CNN doesn't have any political bias. Certainly they're more left, but at least they lead with information that's predicated on source and fact. You know, they're not tanned testicles like Tucker over there. 844-967-2789. We're going to test out the phones. Wisco Paul, let's see how they sound now. Welcome back.
Hey, good afternoon.
Oh, much better, nice Paul. You're melodic. Nice you're radio sexy. Welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you. It's always nice to listen to Matt's opinion. You know, the right-wing media is very, very powerful. They've got a good message, and they all stick to it. But I can't do nothing about the new maps, but I just thought Matt's taken a couple of things. I really think Tony is well-positioned to get reelected as governor again. I think he's a fair-minded, and I think people are going to look at it as a check and balance. And the second thing, Matt, I, for one, do not want to see Joe Biden run again. He was a good placeholder, and he did way better than I thought, but he's just getting too old. And I'll just throw a name out there, because I don't know any Kennedys or Clintons that are in the bullpen here, but I would just throw a name out like the governor of California, Newsom. somebody young, maybe inspirational.
Liberal West Coast elitist, Gavin Newsom, Paul? Are you sure you want to tag the man with that?
Well, I'm just looking for somebody young. It doesn't have to be him. I'm just looking for some young, just somebody, maybe in their 50s, your age, Cody. I just don't want to see any of these 60-plus-year-old guys.
Hey, man, it's been a long time since anyone called me young, Paul. appreciate the call. Eventually, there will be a passing of the torch. Maybe it'll be a Pete Buttigieg sort, although he's got his limitations as a politician as well. But, Matt, I would probably, and I disagree with you, Paul. I like you. But if the candidate was Bernie Sanders with the current cognitive abilities that Bernie shows at 80, I'd have zero qualms about a vibrant Bernie Sanders running for re-election. And I suspect his approval ratings would be a little higher because I think he'd have done a better job of using the bully pulpit. But I'm not willing or quite ready to throw this guy overboard yet. I think it's a little too early for that. Now, if we have a disastrous midterms, if it's a red crushing wave on the beach, now does your buddy Obama call you up and say, hey, Joe, you know, you had a good run. You're forever known as the president. Let's call it one and done.
I heard that Obama urged him not to run last time around, actually.
If you believe some of the reporting early on, Obama was very supportive of Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
And that's another candidate, Elizabeth Warren. I was speaking about her outside to a friend of mine before, and I said, very dynamic candidate. If I could have picked and placed the president, it would have been Elizabeth Warren. Now, I supported Bernie Sanders mostly because of the 2016 run. I thought he was better positioned to win the nomination in 2020. You got to lose one to win one, I thought. I came around to Joe Biden when he eventually won the nomination. I voted for Joe, and I supported Joe. And I'm not ready to throw Joe overboard. There's nothing about his... It's been boring, and the accomplishments have been, you know, whatever. But so it's not a...
Not a great messenger. Not great message. And I just think people were sick of Trump. They wanted a breather from Trump. They got their breather. A lot of people aren't happy with what's going on. I think it'd be much better to have Elizabeth Warren run or Sherrod Brown, senator from Ohio, run. He's a good candidate, too.
That an admission of weakness on behalf of the Democrats? You got to run with the incumbent, man. You can't. I mean,
it's not a commandment. It's not necessary.
Is he in primary territory at this point? Can you see any Democrat? You know, I don't mean Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, God.
I mean a Democrat like Bernie threaten to primary Obama in 2012. And I think in no small part, that's why Obama helped push Joe Biden. And a few of the candidates, I think Buttigieg got a call from Obama.
Yeah,
I think Amy Klobuchar got a call from Obama.
That was outrageous, too, I thought. I mean, let the people decide, not the kingmaker. And maybe we would have had a Bernie Sanders Trump matchup, and maybe Bernie would have been president today. So anyway, I thought that was disgraceful.
You understand that politics is also about personalities and egos. And when a guy says, maybe I should primary the incumbent president, well, the incumbent president may not have a personal affection for Bernie going forward.
I thought Bernie was right to consider primarying him too, because Obama wasn't acting like a progressive once he got into office. I mean, he let the bankers off the hook. He's a Wall Street guy. There was reason for Bernie to stand on principle and say, maybe I should primary that guy. He's not going to primary Biden now.
No, Bernie wouldn't, but no. Could you see some young upstart? It's not going to be Kamala, but...
No, Biden would have to back out if there's a disaster in November. At some point, he's going to have to change his mind and not run for re-election. Then it's Kamala Harris, Sherrod Brown, Elizabeth Warren, Buttigieg.
Could you see the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling, especially, I believe it's Dobbs, the Roe v. Wade ruling, could you see that changing the entire dynamic of the midterms?
It could be, and here in Wisconsin, it would mean we'd have a law that was passed in 1849 outlawing abortion that would be the law of this state, if you can believe that. A law that was passed 50, 60 years before women even had the right to vote.
That's Matt Rothschild. He's my co-devil for the rest of the hour. Dial us 844-967-2789.